Welcome to Movie of the Year, the only podcast with the science and the screaming and the Tetsuro and
Tetsuro!
The Canada to determine the best movie for any given year. This year we are focusing on 1988. Will the best movie of 1988 be Akira? You will know by the time you are done watching, listening to this episode, however you have decided to take it in. I am your host, Greg. That is my co-host, Drop Pad. Very good, Drop Pad. You are right. You know your own name.
Yes.
Yes, you most certainly do. All right, joining me is champion.
Oh!
And returning best friend.
Oh!
Ryan.
Greg, it is so good to be here and talk to you about my favorite 88 film, which I just found out. I was coming in and I was thinking Great Outdoors tonight, right?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be The Great Outdoors.
Uh-huh.
But this is a different movie. But sort of the same movie, right?
A lot of it takes place out of doors. Mike Challenger.
I'm here.
Do you have what it takes?
I think I do.
You do? You think you have what it takes to take down?
I'm going to take down Ryan. I'm going to take down Akira.
Mike.
I like that attitude, so I'm giving you a point.
Thank you.
Right off the skadoosh. And then, of course, joining me, quite honestly, not enough, but thankfully tonight,
Taylor.
Is my good buddy Taylor.
Tetsuo!
Canada!
I'm just happy to be here.
All right. Well, you guys, tonight we are talking about 1988's Akira. And my first question to all of you guys is dub or sub? How did you imbibe your Akira?
This is a good question. I know
Thank
the
you.
Answer to widescreen versus pan and scan, right?
Right.
Like, it's,
yes.
You got to go widescreen because that's what movie nerds told you,
yes.
Even if you don't know why.
And because I don't know what pan and scan means.
That means that, like, they just filmed, like, they shot the camera back on whatever chunk of the Letterboxd movie they wanted you to see at the time.
It was when we used to have square ratio televisions.
Well, yeah. Those days.
Yeah.
What?
And so, they were tired of old people saying, like, why are there black bars on the top and bottom of my screen? Now it just fits our TVs.
Old people always talking about black something on something.
Yeah, you can't listen to what old people say about that kind of stuff. So guys, how about you, Mike?
It was the dubbed. And I believe it was the old dub because there's the new dub.
Yeah, there are a couple dubs of this.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to watch sub, right?
Well, that's... What do you think, Taylor?
So for me, it's... I'm like weird with like animation stuff. I think animation, I do dub first, but then I went back and watched the sub version after I'd watched the dub because then I'm like, I'm not missing anything, and now I can hear the original voice actors mm-hmm. do stuff.
That's the thing. I think that you have to do it twice, and you have to do one of each because the first time I listened to it or I watched it, I did the subtitled version, and that's fine. That's a cool way to do it. It's nice to hear the original voice actors. The only problem is you are staring at the bottom of the screen.
Right.
But is that
right.
the case with every foreign movie you watch?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
But for
but
so
like
yeah,
you just look down, you read the dialogue, and then you're back
but
up
like
looking
one
at
the
But
like one of the last foreign movie I saw was Cold War. If you can like spare a glance down to read the text in Cold War, but this is like an action, awesome,
right.
Visuals
animated.
Are kinetic and crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to miss a lot. For animation, I will prefer a dub just because the dub fits. Like it doesn't feel like it's as out of sync with the mouth movements on
yeah.
animation.
That's insane though. Like they are not talking to the voice. And if they are, they're picking new and different words that mm-hmm. aren't in Japanese. Like look down, read it real quick. Where, like, for the dub, they're getting American actors who do not know the culture, do not know, like, the even the emotion
nuance,
that they're supposed to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're cutting out all of these Japanese actors who, like, try to be the character. Like Robin Williams in Aladdin.
Do you guys, when,
one
you,
and three.
When you find something that's either sub or dub, do you look up, like, people are like, is the dub for this good?
100%.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I think maybe the 01 dub is good. The 90 dub,
91.
Which is what I watched.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're like, what if we scream every line always? Was not great.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're trying to channel what they think anime is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just so frenetic.
I've Let's heard
just,
about this.
We're going to yeah. all act like Matthew Lillard the entire time.
Well, also, the 90...
Yes, more!
Well, also, like, the 91 dub was, like, before anime really became, like, a thing in mm-hmm. America. Because this was, like, the thing that
yeah,
started it.
It was, like, the birth of the second wave of anime. In
yeah.
America.
So they don't have, like, a long-ish history of, like, dubbed anime that they can be like, this is how you do this well.
I do think a good way to do it is to take two passes
right.
through
yeah.
it. And for something like this movie, because it's, like, seminal to, like, understanding anime, if you're going to have any chance of doing it, which I still don't think I'm going to, I think it's worth watching twice. But, like, when I'm watching, like, Attack on Titan, I'm just going to do the subtitled version and not worry if I'm missing things by reading it. But for this particular one, I felt like when I watched it again with the dub, I did get a little bit more out of it because it was easier to keep track of who exactly was speaking, and to just be like looking at the action rather than reading right below it.
All right, so watching it twice is preferred, and then only subtitled, and then dubbed only is way, way below, and mm-hmm. you cannot win tonight. You cannot win.
Whoa, he's coming and swinging hard right now. That's maybe the subtitled version I had looked visually like shit all the time and kept glitching.
Ryan. I had to give Ryan a point bad. Because apparently you can't win.
You cannot win.
Yeah, I'd be
you
afraid.
You cannot win.
The points would say
so
that
so we're just
did.
Allowed to declare things, I guess.
All right, well, so that was my first real big question. Like, how did we do the sub versus dub thing? Let's just talk in general about this movie because that's what intros are for. How much did you like this? Were you shocked by what it was? What was your experience with it?
I feel like before we answer that question, if I could, I'll just count to three and then we can all just say out loud who we think in the group would be most likely to love this movie.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just say one, two, three.
Taylor.
Yeah,
I fucking loved this movie. It was great. It was a good time. I watched it twice.
What do
I didn't
you,
mind.
What do you love about it?
I love, A, it's...
Such a good question.
I think it's just really well done. Like, the animation holds up, which
yeah.
a lot – when you go back to a lot of animated stuff, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily do that. And it really does. I love the soundtrack of this. I love
yes.
just the overall appeal. I'm also a huge fan of just cyberpunk as a genre.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And this is fucking heavily that. It's just – it's
you get a point for liking cyberpunk?
Yeah,
yeah,
dude. Bring me liking
I
cyberpunk.
I like steampunk.
It's,
well, give me a point.
Can you take away a point for that?
I'll just
I like
give
pop
you
punk.
Another one.
Awesome, great.
Where's our pop punk Akira? And they I felt like I was realizing, although I was mostly told how great the animation was in the first like 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be appreciating this. And then they did something that I really, really loved, which is while there's a big motorcycle fight in the very beginning – there's a TV on the background showing like American typical animation
yeah.
of like dogs in a commercial.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so now we get to see both at the same time. And oh no, I get it now.
Right.
I get how why this looks amazing.
Yeah.
And most of it has to do with like if you watch Scooby-Doo, it's we are going to barely care about the foreground and then just
certainly
have
not give a shit about the background.
Yeah. It's like painted by somebody who has no idea what's going on and nothing
yeah.
connects. Whereas I cannot believe how much time was planned like almost in three different levels in this movie.
Yeah, the cityscapes
that, to me, I think made every scene, even if it was gibberish, sort of worth
the
it.
The cityscapes are beautiful.
Now, you bring up the specter of it being gibberish because I think we've said what is likable about this movie. But there is a problem, right, which is that it's hard to understand maybe like what's going on.
I did not have that problem.
So the
you feel like you could recap this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If
do
you,
it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do too. Like I don't yeah. see what the problem is, especially because of all the this was just a superhero movie
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
we just got the origin of like a different character.
They leave you hanging on exactly what's going on for the first like 20 or 30 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
And then once they've explained sort of the backstory, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. All of this
the
makes
only,
sense.
The only problem I had was like I think that everybody understands what the word Akira means more than I do.
Right.
But then there's a huge information
and
dump.
Also, a lot of the characters are like, Akira, it's the thing. And somebody's like, Akira, it's the person. And the characters start arguing about what it is. And you're like, oh, I'm on the page they are.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows?
And then every time somebody said Akira, it broke into like a 7-minute choreographed dance.
Akira,
that
Akira.
That doesn't explain it.
Were you guys surprised by, could you feel like you could see the cultural influence this movie has had?
Yes. I felt like at the same time I saw its influence as far as like the other things that drew from it.
Uh-huh.
Like I think like The Matrix and like mm-hmm. even like I think Kill Bill has explicitly said they took stuff from this.
Mm-hmm.
But also like this was the movie that started like people watching anime in America, which I totally get because I watched this movie twice and went, you know, I never finished Cowboy Bebop. And I started watching Cowboy Bebop because I was like, I want more of this.
But I think what I saw more is like the movies that created it, you know,
yeah.
like it's not just that Neo Tokyo is the city from Blade Runner, but the like how
the buildings are the buildings
yeah.
from Blade
yeah.
Runner,
but how big like the motorcycles are. It feels like they saw some shots from Blade Runner and then heard the title and said, I don't know what Blade Runner means. So I'm going to make a Blade Runner.
Oh, that's
which is
such
that
a fun
motorcycle.
Game.
Yeah. And then also Tron, like they were just Trons and a Blade Runner.
What if Tron
around.
Was here?
Yeah.
What if Tron were here?
I also think it's going up against reputation is hard because it's what made anime hit big again in America. And I heard stunning visuals. The plot is not there. And so I thought, I assumed it was like a psychotropic stunning visuals. The plot doesn't matter. It was not that. It was just beautiful visuals. They looked like paintings. And then, and especially growing up, I didn't like anime, and I'm getting, I think I just wasn't used to it. I was an American boy on hot dogs.
Racism.
And Studio Ghibli made me go, oh, wait, I get it. Uh-huh. And this did not bug. It's mostly, I hate Dragon Ball Z. I fucking hate how it looks, and it's a garbage show, and my brothers are idiots.
But
this looks awesome.
Can't you see the argument, though, that, like, and I don't know what Dragon Ball Z is, but, like, they watched Akira and got some of the lessons, but not the right ones?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, Dragon Ball Z is a show, which, just like with, like, motion pictures and, like, television shows, TV shows have way lower budgets. Like,
right.
they don't have
the
time.
And the way
to
they get around that is very noticeable in anime.
Like, even the well-drawn and, like, well-animated, like, TV shows, you can see, like, they were cutting corners here. Like, they had a deadline to produce on.
Sure, but the way that, and it wasn't even stylistic, as far as, like, the city goes, the way that Canada would, jump over a motorcycle and kick, or the way that Tatsu would turn around when he called his name, and there's, like, he's about to fucking flash you with, a ton of energy. That is all of the anime that I know.
Right.
Like, it feels like it all came from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we are going to dive even deeper into this movie. But before we do, we are going to take a little group field trip to a place I like to call Rushmore, because its name is Rushmore.
Rushmore.
You heard it here first, everybody. It's Mount Rushmore. We are doing the most iconic 1988 fashions. I am judge, jury, and sexecutioner. Bring to me the 88 fashions, and I will tell you whether or not they are worthy to adorn our first and only stone presidents.
Is it our job to pick the president, or we say the thing, then you pick the president?
You know what? Give me a pitch that involves the president of note, and it'll probably help out your cause.
Ooh.
So, Ryan, you feel like you got one corked up.
Yeah.
Well, do what we always used to do in 1988, and...
Get her done.
Famous 1988 phrase.
I feel like that George Washington, first superhero of the Americas...
Yes.
Is always wearing those, like, weird, like, culottes and fluffy shirts. And what he should be wearing is a suit that is not a normal color, and then just, like, a t-shirt and no tie. He should be dressed like Don Johnson from Miami Vice.
Whoa, that sounds like...
Well, man, I'm going to have to get me some new suits.
Yes.
That sounds like I'm going to have to get me some new suits, Ryan.
Fuck. George Washington, you should, because that whole thing of, like, pink coat, pink pants, t-shirt...
Cadillac.
That is all... That's 88.
That's
baby.
A time bomb. And it's not just the t-shirt. It is... Everything is baggier than it should be. It's not a zoot suit, but it's definitely taken a big step towards a zoot suit.
Am I right when I assume that there's also going to be like a big gold medallion, which will then be nestled in just acres of chest hair?
I hope so. I fucking hope so.
Well, I love it. That's good. Well, who'd you say you wanted it to be, Ryan?
George Washington.
That's going
Ryan.
Right up on George Washington. Delicious leisure suit. All right, Mike. What do you got? What do you put on the mountain?
This is on Teddy Rose. He's on the mountain, right?
He is.
Okay. Teddy Rose, he likes the flair. He has those glasses. That is a fashion statement. So he likes to jazz it up a little.
He likes the flaw.
And I think it's the dark denim jacket covered in sequined pins.
Ooh.
That is super 88 and super Teddy Rosey.
Is that different than bedazzled?
It's leaning towards bedazzled, but it's the dark denim covered in sparkly shit.
It's foreshadowing bedazzled?
Yeah, bedazzling does feel like early 90s.
You're talking about, like, I guess it would be nice. You're talking about, like, George Michael, right?
He
kind of wears, like, this sort of...
It's the dark denim, and it's the pins. A fuck ton of TGI Fridays flair,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they're all sequiny. And I do think it gave birth to the bedazzle, and it gave birth to the Looney Tunes and, like, hip-hop gear with your backwards hat. It's making denim cool again.
Yeah, that whole gear, the whole, like, look of... Looney Tunes characters wearing denim on pieces
mm-hmm.
of denim.
Yeah.
So, like, it's on your pants, but they're also wearing, like, a full denim ensemble.
And on theirs is older Looney Tunes wearing pants.
But, like,
when it was still racist.
What you're doing is you're wearing the clothes of the people that are on your shirt.
Yeah.
So it's a weird sort of meta fashion.
All the way down.
Weird enough to make it right up on the mountain. That's going to be on Teddy R.
Teddy R, yes.
Teddy Rupskin.
My favorite president.
All right, Taylor, now that we are already down to just two available spots.
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage on this one.
Because you're young.
I was not.
You were an embryo in 88, is that correct?
Not even that.
Not even that. Not even a twinkle.
No, not even a twinkle. But I am going to say that I'm going to put Abraham Lincoln in four different layers, all vaguely the same color, and all of them have to have a large exaggerated collar.
Yeah.
And they're all just going to kind of be loose and unbuttoned in some form or fashion so that you're just wearing as many layers as possible.
Yeah, you've got the Steve Bannon shirt on shirt on shirt on shirt on shirt.
It's just too many shirts. And but then, like, also there's a jacket on top of that.
Is it you're a sweaty guy. You want to hide your sweat. But that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And yeah. You just get more and more sweaty.
I don't know.
It's the fat kid in a shirt in a pool.
And then specifically from the 80s, every collar was popped, right?
Yeah.
You've got like a Game of Thrones, Iron Throne style.
You have to have like one collar that's up around your neck and it's fully popped.
Yeah.
But then there's another collar that somehow only exists around your chest.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you pop every collar, they're going to hide them. They're going to hide themselves behind the collar. So you have to like do different things with each collar so they all stand out individually.
Collars are popped, none are.
This is a strong maybe, but just to get a feel for what's out there, I got to put this bad boy up on the maybe pile, but definitely a very strong maybe. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
What else you got? That's a toilet flush for you, Ryan. I'm going to counteract that with
skadoosh.
A skadoosh. And you know what that means? That means anytime you hear skadoosh, I'm going to throw to Ryan for the next answer.
So this isn't clothes, or is it? Is
Whoa.
This an accessory?
Whoa.
Hang on.
Tease.
Ryan.
That's right.
You
Mike.
Blew my mind, so you just got to get a point for that.
It is a tease. It's a tease hairspray. Because you're not going out in just normal-ass hair.
Oh,
you are having the biggest, perm-like, prom-ready metal hair that you possibly can. And if you don't, if you just have, like, long, straight hair, what the fuck are you doing with
you
your
gotta
life?
You got to get it big. Man, remember from Die Hard? Her hair in that is just like, it's as teased as I can get. It's more teased than I was in high school. That's how fucking teased this hair is.
And everything we learned about hair is from Elaine from Seinfeld, where we just watch it like get closer to her head as the series went on. And 88 was, don't get it closer to your head. Get it as far away from your head as possible.
What I love is because there was like, before this, there was the beehive. And this was like, well, not that. So it's like, the top is beehived up, and then it's still flowy down. It's like, the worst of all worlds.
Taylor, you grew up in Texas. Do they still talk about how big hair got in Texas?
Oh, listen.
You'd go down to the Piggly Wiggly, and the hair would just
everyone had such big hair.
Texas, sponsored by Aquaman.
And it was Texas, so it was even bigger there.
And I'm thinking, based on our Rushmore for music of 88, where Appetite for Destruction was a big thing, we get Lincoln with his hair. That top hat's coming straight down. And now he is the Slash of Mount Rushmore.
I love it.
Ryan.
Farts.
Throw it up on the mountain. We are down to just one chair.
Does anybody know the president?
It's Lincoln.
No, I just put hair metal on Lincoln.
Oh, the president that is left?
Yes.
So let's see. It's Jefferson, right?
Jefferson.
Hair metal. By hair metal, do you mean teased hair?
Hair metal hair.
Yeah, you know, that really big teased out.
I thought we were talking different hair. Okay.
All right, Mike.
Yes.
What do you got for me?
I guess on Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, he's a rebel. He's kind of a bad boy. He did some things we don't agree with, but he's still pretty
you
cool.
You think that makes him a rebel and a bad boy? Okay. All right, you're in pretty deep here, brother.
But we talked about Guns N' Roses. I'll raise you your poison and see you your white snake. You like those jeans? They'd be a lot cooler if parts of them were way lighter. It's acid wash jeans. Acid wash jeans. And in 88 style, it was... like, not tie-dyed, but, like, splatters. Now acid wash jeans does look like a painter's roll just straight down.
Yeah.
It's just a rectangle and looks like stupid shit.
And it's not just the acid wash. It's that was the time where Crocodile Dundee was telling us what a knife was.
Uh-huh.
And then taking it to your jeans. Like,
yeah,
they were sliced
ripped.
To shit and ripped of acid.
Slit acid wash jeans.
All right. And for fairness sake, I'm going to put that on the maybe pile. We're going to go Taylor for one more.
That is fair.
And then I will make a big beefy decision.
All right. Mine's going to be just, you know those hats that look like a cloth version of like a shower cap or like the grandmother in Little Red Riding Hood wears? For some reason in 1988, people were wearing those and they're like, this is fashion now.
Like Bruce Springsteen's band and stuff.
Yeah. Or like I feel like every person on the Cosby Show was like, look at me, I'm going to college and I dress fun in fun hats that look like garbage.
Well,
I'm putting that on Thomas Jefferson because I think he would look hot as fuck in it.
It's just what his hair looks like.
Fun hat also going on the maybe pile. But you know what I think wins it? I think it's those distressed acid washed,
yes.
Blue jeans.
So, Mike, you get 2 points, both for denim. Congratulations.
Yep. I'm a denim Dan.
A denim on denim look. Ryan, set a scene here. Describe for us these beautiful El Presidentes.
So there's like a lot of president villains in the bar. They're like, oh, we hate presidents. George Washington comes in, pink suit coat, pink pants, t-shirt, bus in. Everybody's like, okay, that's scary, but that's not enough. Then Teddy Roosevelt tucks and rolls in his denim jacket full of pins.
Boom.
And everybody's like, oh, God, we should probably act better as hooligans. Then Abraham Lincoln comes in. He's got the hat. The top hat is now sort of covering the eyes, and there's hair, metal hair coming out of everywhere. Before Thomas Jefferson, who only did kind of a couple bad things that Mike sort of disagrees with, and his acid-ripped jeans are making everybody cream.
That makes it seem like the rest of you super agree with it, so I'm fine with my stance.
All right. I'm not sure how I weigh in on any of this, but I do know this for a fact. When we come back, we're going to get to one of our sweet questions.
Neo Tokyo is about to explode. Streamline Pictures presents a state-of-the-art adventure, Akira.
In a dystopian 2019 Neo Tokyo, Akira tells the story of biker gangs, rebels, and government officials all chasing the mythical power of Akira. Powers are gained, lessons are learned, and eventually everything goes to hell. Taste buds, I ask you this. Does this movie ultimately feel like the piecemealing of a much larger story, or does the movie smoothly transition from manga to film?
I feel like there are bits where I can definitely tell this is a larger story that we don't see all of.
Bits? You think you would actually confine it to just like simple bits?
Well, yeah, I would too.
No, I would
no,
too.
I back up Taylor.
I was trying. I also vehemently, unfortunately, back up Taylor. I was trying because there's a 12-hour version of this or something, right?
Is there?
There's a 12-hour manga version.
Manga
yeah.
version.
Yeah, you can
Wait,
read the 12-hour.
You can
version.
Read in 12 hours. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't want more hours of this, and I was trying to figure out what am I missing.
See,
here.
I definitely I guess the, 100% would want more.
The doctor yeah. towards the back half, he's just like, I'm gonna stare at this geode for a while and stop interacting with anybody. I was like, I
and
bet
stare at it. He does.
I bet there's scenes that explain what that is, but there's a lot that I'm like, what the fuck else would they add?
Okay, here's one thing I think they could definitely add. Okay, so you got some old babies in this movie, right?
Oh, yes. The zombie babies.
They are people yeah, who are
babies.
Babies. Okay, and when they talk, they sound like babies. But they're also old people.
Yes.
Now,
is that what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so there's
because they've been babies for at least they've been babies for over 30 years.
There's
yeah.
zombie
like
one
toddlers.
That we meet first. That like the inciting incident.
Takashi
is on the highway and Tatsuo almost hits him.
And then there's baby Trump in the floating chair.
But I yes. thought baby Louis Anderson. But yes, baby. And
I thought baby Professor Xavier.
Okay, Louis Anderson is very good. That's a very good
and,
one. Little
and
baby
when we
Louis
first
Anderson.
Meet him, baby Louis has a suit on. And
yeah.
I was like, look at this weird old man.
Because
and
he's been alive for like 35, 40 years.
And then yeah. later he's like, nah, I am a baby. I got to dress like a baby. He definitely regresses. And then there's baby Peggy Longstockings.
Right. Who Pippi like. Longstockings. I think that she could pull off the young thing the most, except she puts the most old lady makeup
just,
on at
oh, yeah.
all
the
times.
The gremlinest of lipsticks.
Yes.
But, like, I think we can, and this is what I think is true of a lot of this movie, I think we can infer what their deal is.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, they were tested when they were kids, and they were made to be permanently kids, and I think that's cool. But,
that is cool. Kids should stay kids.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's, like, a cool, like, way for the movie to go.
Right.
But not like a thing that you should. You think
no,
that should
I
happen
try.
In
no.
Your
I think
life.
That's what the GOP.
Also,
all about.
I should point out in Interview with a Vampire, I don't think it's cool that Kirsten Dunst is like a forever baby vampire,
which is something that we should say on every episode of Moody.
Yeah, we don't endorse that.
Yeah, we don't like the rumors going on us about us and how we feel about Kirsten Dunst as a baby vampire.
But I do think that the movie could maybe like explain who they are. It doesn't. It just leaves you to figure out who they are.
I actually think the bigger problem is Ryu. And to a lesser extent, Kai, as in, like, they feel like their character is from a very big soap opera-y drama.
Who are Ryu and Kai? Right. Kai is the girl?
Kai is the girl that, like, is sort of capable. And
she's, like, one of the rebels.
Yeah, and right. The children love going through her.
Because actually,
her
I feel like I should specify her name is actually Kay, because there is another character whose name is Kai.
Yeah, because there's a Kai, there's a Kay, there's a Ryu.
Yeah.
Who's Ryu? Is he one of the many thin mustached men?
He's the thin mustache.
He's the older rebel.
Yeah. Okay. Who's like leading the way and who's ready to shoot anybody who steps in front of him for a second.
Yeah. If you are rebel, in my way, I will knock you down and shoot.
But
some people say terrorist.
He's a twin. He has a twin who's on the rebels. The colonel looks like him. That was a look.
Yeah.
Big look. That thin mustache.
I hate to go to this hack tag, but I would say I thought it was going to be gibberish the entire time, and I don't think it was, especially because we've had now 22 Marvel movies and, you know, 14 DCEU movies and then all the superhero movies in between. I think that it was a pretty basic superhero movie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was the Tale of Two Halves, where in the first half I was confused and delighted. And then in the second half, it did feel like they cut out a ton of manga story. And now it was just like a way too long act three.
According to the research I did online, it does a weird thing, which is it comes out just a couple of years before the manga is actually done and wraps.
So right. Game of Thrones style.
So the end is like a two-part end of the movie that we got. It is the middle of the end of the manga. So the manga has two volumes, and we see the end of volume one, which is Akira is unearthed. In the manga, he steps forward as the little boy version of himself. Uh-huh. In the movie, he's the experimented on and now just reduced to parts version. And then the very, very end of the movie that we see, I hear, is also the end of the manga. So the end of our movie is like a compressed version of the end of the first volume of the manga and the actual end of the manga itself.
And I can see somebody who is, because this is written and directed by the author of the manga.
Yes. I believe so, yeah.
And I can see somebody who like doesn't really know how movies work saying like, oh, I know the choice points of my story that I told. I'll just put those in. Whereas like a filmmaker would have said, that's not how we do here. You know, like, that's not how stories work.
I think that knowing the story that he had and the story that was already done, I feel like he did a pretty good job. Like, I feel like the rest of that stuff that was in between, it's not necessary for the movie. Like, it does feel like there's some stuff missing.
It does. It feels like a good choice to me.
But it feels like he wrapped it up and was like, this is a self-contained enough story that he did it in 2 hours, which for animation is fucking long.
But the last hour felt like the end of 6 hours, not 1 hour.
It feels very old Star Wars, where it's just like, it is a bigger universe. We'll give you hints. You could learn way more about Kay and Ryu and the Rebel Alliance. And there's so many avenues you could learn more about.
For me, you know what it felt like? It felt like the greatest hits. The manga, and it felt like if you read the manga and you were like up to date on the manga, that like because you knew how everybody was situated in the overarching story, I bet it was very, very like fascinating. But it reminded me of the Harry Potter movies or the most recent seasons of Game of Thrones, where it feels like all the beats are correct, but the space in between them is not quite
so. Like character changes or arcs are like rushed or don't happen.
They're
like,
rushed.
What?
Yeah. And so you don't get to like sit on any of the notes, but you can't disagree with any of what happens. Like I really like, if you break this down into plot points, I think I like each of the plot points. Mm. The problem is you don't get the time to like gestate those plots.
And it is an ensemble movie. I don't think there's one focal character.
And I've heard, honestly, it's an even more ensemble manga. Mm-hmm. That the movie kind of like...
I believe that, but it should have been a less ensemble movie.
Right. Yeah. In books, you can do that. And in movies or Game of Thrones, you got to choose a couple and run. And
you just call books Game of Thrones.
Books are Game of Thrones now.
Dude, I back that. Dude, I got to give you a point. I back that 100%. If you just refer to books as Game of Thrones from now on, I would understand what you're talking about a lot more.
But with this, you the whole time, and maybe it's I was trying to figure out if it's Western storytelling I'm used to or movie narrative.
That's a good point.
That's the thing. Oh, yeah, we have like multiple levels of translation.
But here's
right?
what's crazy is it was an Eastern story telling in the shape of like Joseph Campbell's hero's arc. So it was going, so I was like, who am I rooting for?
But see,
is it okay to root for fucking nobody?
Does it follow the arc of Joseph Campbell? Because who's the hero of the...
Yes, who is the... Yeah, but I think it makes moves for a few characters and none of them...
And actually, don't answer that question. Because I have a question about that later.
I would say that like although it's hard to find like the exact hero and more like the exact villain, right? Because we're like we hate
the
some
villain
of the heroes.
Seems to be like society or
right.
something.
We but hate yeah. some like, of the heroes and we feel bad for some of the villains. But as like the guy who would be on the poster, which is not necessarily the hero, but the guy who would be on the poster, I do think they did a good job with Canada.
Is that Pillboy?
I thought he was yes.
I call it, yeah. He loves medicine. He yes. has it on his jacket.
Apparently that is something that is like again explored a lot more in the manga, that like this is a like Brave New World style universe where people are like taking fistful of pills all the time and more than anybody else basically every day just grabs huge fistfuls of pills and jams them down their gullet.
You got hints of that. They go to this bar, Pillboy and the gang. They're not the clowns, but I don't know if they get a name. Grease Lightning, Danny Zuko, because there are hints at that for a while.
Non-clowns.
The non-clowns hang out this bar that you would just stay thirsty at because he just gives you so much medicine.
You go there and you order pills.
Until you get foamy at the mouth.
You know, it reminded me in part of, a lot of this movie reminded me of A Clockwork Orange, where they're like, every gang is just like these like high school age kids that are just not kind of supervised in any way.
But luckily, I think this movie hedged its bet, and I didn't know this for like the first 10 minutes, but in the 11th and 12th minute, I realized that they're not the Clockwork Orange gang who is just going after all of society, but specifically a different gang. I thought they were just like destroying any citizen that existed.
Yeah.
And then eventually I realized that, no, they're just after the clown.
They have one evil gang. Because
fuck Juggalos.
Yeah,
everybody
fuck
should
the
beat them up as much as they can.
Honestly, I don't know how you guys feel. I want to ask you, actually, but I came away from this movie being like, I want to read this manga. Like, I know it's 2,000 pages,
for sure, yes.
But I want to read it because a big part of what I want way more. We are high school burnout kids who are in a motorcycle gang.
Right.
And we fucking have a rival motorcycle gang. And when somebody runs into our bar and says the other gang is just like stunting, we're going to like head out to go like
and
pipe battle.
So
them.
Grease. I love that shit.
And the clowns are only good when they get, like, one isolated. Otherwise, they're clearly a weaker gang than our, like, our premier gang.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't have the honor or the dignity of Canada or his friends.
And it's so hard when you're doing...
Canada has honor and dignity? Did we watch a different movie?
No, he...
He absolutely does.
He definitely has honor and dignity.
Almost can't be a fan.
Yeah, I don't think you can be a fan of, like, Star-Lord. Or Han Solo, and still not appreciate Canada.
He definitely seems like that vein of character, and I guess maybe he is 17, but they're supposed to arc. But he's such a little whiny, fucking misogynistic baby boy. This dude sucks.
Okay, well,
none of the charm of Chris Pratt.
This movie is lousy with misogyny. I mean,
women
are not even shown to be like people or members of society in this movie.
I really liked this movie, but if there's one thing that I really gotta say, it's not great with women.
Tatsuo is hanging out with the chick, and the clowns show up and rip her shirt off. You just see anime titties. And then he's like, hey. And then they start to threaten his bike. He's like, wait! He cares way more about the red motorcycle he stole from his friend than that girl.
Is it crazy to say, though, that this movie is all about balance and how in this society there isn't? And part of that is because girls are out of whack. Like, the feminism is just gone.
I think that's...
And this is what happens when there isn't girls.
Only, I think there's an element of that.
Only
for sure.
Kai and the zombie girls seem to have any good in them, so I would believe that.
The problem is that, with Fight Club in like the '99 season, is that like if they're not saying that directly to the camera, then dirty, shitty boys will take it as like, this is how it should work. But I do think the movie thinks that if girls aren't around, if moms aren't around, if sisters aren't around, this is what happens to society.
But that's, I think, you doing that work for the movie. I don't think the movie does that on its own.
Well, that's the thing about this movie. I think you have to get in there and do a bunch of work for it to make any sense.
Well, I think Ryan might be... I think the movie takes it to, like, the 10-yard line and Ryan's moving it a little bit further. Yeah. But I do think that the movie is explicitly doing a lot of stuff with like the military industrial complex and like
sure.
like this general is these are the old ways and they were better. And like in some ways it does cut through like the bureaucracy, which the movie is also saying is bad, but also it causes a lot of the problems.
Yeah, the colonel kills the bureaucracy.
Right. But then, like, that also begets more problems.
And then
right.
also the colonel, like, goes over the science guy, but the science guy goes over the colonel guy and the youth. Like that who do we root for question is a big one in this movie.
I do like when the colonel
takes...
Which
is why I like the balance idea.
The
like,
bureaucracy takes their police against the colonel because they're like, wait, you killed some of us. We're probably going to come after you. And then he kills that leader. And even his guys are like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Well, that was a very in-depth answer. We are going to go to some Patreon-only segments. Patreon listeners, we love you. We kiss you. We kiss you all over your face. Regular listeners, we salute you. You're good as well. When we come back, for Patreon listeners, we're going to recast this dang old podcast.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff so far, and I bet there's more good stuff yet to come.
Holy cow!
We don't.
They're doing it.
We haven't heard what's up yet, but like, if you could put some numbers in your little computer nerd and find out if there's more good stuff.
Boop, 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 boop. Yep, tons of more good stuff.
Tons more good
live
stuff
right at you.
That's awesome. Where'd you buy that computer nerd?
Computernerds.com.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We're in the commercial portion now, by the way, Mike.
Oh, I got that yeah. from your pop till. I got that from yourpopfilter.com/Amazon. It's where I buy all my things now.
Including bookmarks?
Including bookmarks.
Speaking of bookmark it. What about if you didn't spend enough money at Amazon, you have some more money to give to us?
I have about a coffee a month's worth of free money.
Okay, and we know that, sure.
Because I'm bad at budgeting, and that's all I have.
That could go to Ethiopian children.
No,
sure.
They are going to just burn it away on food right away. What we'll do is make more great tent for you.
And them.
And what we're talking about is, of course, patreon.com/yourpopfilter. Do it for the Ethiopian kids. We have a special podcast just for them.
So if you, that means that if you don't join a Patreon tier, you hate the Ethiopians.
Yeah. Why do you do that? Why do you got to hate them?
And then, of course, you said yourpopfilter twice, and I don't know what that is.
Oh, yourpopfilter.com mm-hmm. is the mother site to everything we put out. Do you want podcasts? We got them. Do you want articles that are 4 years old? We got those too. Everything that we do is at yourpopfilter.com.
If you want articles that are less than 4 years old, you got to become a Patreon member.
Patreon, that's just $1 a month.
Did we do Patreon already?
We could do it again. We'd explain more than pseudo-racist things.
Okay, let's then skip that one. Let's just do Amazon again. Just kidding, we already did it. Bye!
Oh, yes. Let's get to the trivia. I will read the questions. You will let me read the entire question. Then you will say your own name to
Taylor.
Ring in, and I will call on you. Do not say someone else's name. It will not
Steve
work.
Gutenberg.
Question the first. In what 2 years does the movie take place?
Taylor. Ryan.
Taylor.
88 and 2019.
88 and 2019. Very good.
Taylor.
It is weird how prescient the movie was that in 2019,
we would watch it.
All the normies will act normal. Like everything's fine, but the world is fucking burning around them. They go, no, this is what life is like.
And also, Tokyo will have an Olympics.
What is notable about the fact that in the movie, Neo Tokyo will host the Olympics?
Oh, Mike. Taylor.
Taylor.
Tokyo is going to host the Olympics.
Tokyo is going to host the Olympics.
He said O before Taylor.
I'm very sorry that I spoiled that.
A lot of people thought that was pretty crazy that they predicted 30 years ahead of time that Tokyo would have
the Olympics. Back to the Future 2 Cubs winning the World Series. Situation.
It is that kind of thing, Ryan. What movie from the 2018 season also featured a pre-Olympic crackdown?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Roma.
Roma, right. That's kind of cool, though. Talk about like intertextuality. That's a main thing that the political stuff that's going on in Roma is all centered around the fact Mexico is about to have the Olympics.
The Olympics cause problems.
The Olympics fucking suck. We should ban them all.
We could say halfway through the 88 season that Roma won, right? Like,
yeah.
That's
spoiler alert.
Spoiler dessert. Who included some scenes from this movie in his video for the song Stronger?
Ryan.
Mike. Ryan.
Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Ryan.
Is the Kanye best. What rock bands can be seen on the jukebox Canada is using early in the film?
Ryan.
Ryan.
The Beach Boys.
Not the Beach
Taylor.
Boys. Taylor.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
No, it's a good guess, but it's wrong.
Mike.
Mike.
The Ramones.
Not the Ramones. It's Cream.
Ah.
Led Zeppelin. and The Doors. Please rank those bands.
Mike.
Ryan.
Taylor.
Mike.
Led Zeppelin.
Correct.
Cream. The Doors.
Very good, Mike. That is the correct ordering.
We all knew what number three was.
That's fuck The Doors.
That is inarguable. Fuck The Doors. The production budget for this film was the highest in Japanese animation history. What was the production budget for this film?
Taylor.
Taylor.
Like $9.9 million?
That's correct. I'm going to give you that.
What? To the point.
It's $10 million, but probably it's actually 9.9.
I looked it up.
You have the right answer, and I do not.
Mr. I cheat.
What is the name of Canada's motorcycle game? Canada's motorcycle game?
Taylor?
Taylor?
Is it the Boshizuko or the Capsule Gang?
It is the Capsule Gang.
Hey!
Very good.
You could probably just do English, you show off.
Yeah, fuck
well,
you.
Well, I couldn't remember. I didn't
you
know
piglet.
Which. I didn't know if the both of those were the same thing.
What is the name of their rival gang?
Mike.
Ryan.
Mike.
The Clowns.
The Clowns. What is Mike. The name of the leader of that gang?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Bozo.
Not Bozo.
Mike.
Mike.
Killer Clown.
Not Killer
Taylor.
Clown. Taylor.
Was it Killer Steve?
It was Killer Steve.
Is
no,
that true?
It was Joker.
Freak out.
Although Killer Steve would be a really great clown
this
name.
Is Killer Steve.
But the leader of that gang is Joker.
Derivative.
Shaggy too dope.
What would be the name of our motorcycle gang?
Ryan.
Taylor.
Ryan.
Insane Taylor Posse.
Insane Taylor Posse. Guys, I'm going to take a guess from everybody.
Mike.
Mike?
The Polite Boys.
The Polite
God
Boys.
God damn it!
The Polite Boys is the name of your D&D group. I'm not actually a part of that. I'm the DM. But
you play D&D, nerd?
The D&D group is the Polite Boys. Taylor?
I would call it Greg's Gang.
Greg's Gang? No, I'm going to go with Mike.
Mike.
I'm going to go with the Polite Boys.
God
I think
damn it.
We're not creative Look. Enough to come up with a name for a D&D group and a name for a motorcycle.
Our gang. It would be the Polite Boys.
Always need a something boys. So on vacation, we are the Wet Boys.
Yep.
And everything else, we are the
but
Polite Boys.
We will alternate between B-O-Y-Z or B-O-I-S.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Basically, like back and forth just constantly. Motorcycles, cool or not?
Nah? Ryan.
Ryan.
I don't think so until this movie.
You think the motorcycles from this movie
are dope as shit.
But never
I think that in real life they're very dangerous.
All right. Anybody else want to try?
Mike, danger is cool. It's the coolest thing I've ever done. It's super fun, but it's so scary I don't want to own one.
Okay. Taylor?
I've known several people who have died on motorcycles, so I don't want to ride one, but I do want to own these motorcycles.
I am going to give it to Mike. I think that, yes, motorcycles are super duper cool, but I'm too afraid to ride
one.
Yeah,
no, I'm not going
to
ride one. I'll hold on somebody's hip so hard while I'm on the back of one.
No, I wouldn't even do that. I don't think I would stand next to one if it were running.
But honestly, guys, if you are going to ride one, wear knee pads.
Wear knee pads.
Please do.
Nothing else but knee pads.
The name of the corrupt politician in Akira is Nizu. What animal is this name a play on in Japanese?
Ryan.
Ryan.
The giraffe.
Not the giraffe.
Mike.
Mike.
The snake.
Not the snake. Taylor's kind of how he looks. A politician might be called this.
I have no idea.
It
Mike,
is a rat.
The giraffe.
His name means rat. Because most of the film takes place at night, Akira features more than what of any animated film before it?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Lights.
Not lights.
Taylor.
Taylor.
Windows.
Not windows.
Mike.
Mike.
Stars.
Colors. It features 327 colors.
There's not that many.
How many colors were invented for the movie?
Ryan.
Mike. Ryan.
327.
Not 327. They did fix some of the conventional ones.
Taylor.
Taylor.
Three.
Not three, Mike.
Mike. 87.
I'm going to give it to Mike. Come on.
Mike.
Yeah, there you go, Mike. The answer is 50, but 87 was pretty close compared to the other guys.
Right.
How was the pattern indicator used by Dr. Onishi animated?
Taylor.
Taylor.
CGI.
That's some fucking early
very early
CGI. There's a couple other instances of CGI in the movie, but that's the most obvious one. It's not always clear who the hero slash protagonist of Akira is. What book has a character named hero protagonist?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Snowfall?
Not Snowfall. That's pretty close.
Mike.
Mike.
Snowflake?
Not Snowflake, although that's what
I
am.
I have the real one, Taylor.
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 Snowpiercer.
Not Snowpiercer. Mike, I'm going to give you a chance on this one, buddy.
I thought it was Snowpiercer.
It is not Snowpiercer. It is Snow Crash by Neil Stephenson. You guys,
don't know this.
If you liked any part of this movie, read Snow Crash. It
All
is so over the top and cool. It is a cyberpunk novel. It's maybe a satire.
Say no more.
It's about computers and stuff. It's rad. Nerds. Tokyo Movie Shinsha. The production company that produced the movie would go on to animate various episodes of what three WB animated shows?
Ryan.
Mike.
Ryan.
Batman the Animated Series.
That is one.
Animaniacs.
That is two.
Pinky and the Brain.
Ryan.
No, not Pinky and the Brain.
Mike.
Mike?
Superman the Animated Series.
No, Taylor, do you have one quick guess?
Justice League?
Ryan.
The Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oh.
What is unique about how the characters' faces are animated when they talk versus other Japanese animated films of the time? Taylor? Taylor.
Ryan. No. He's
okay,
out.
Ryan.
I'm sorry.
Ryan.
They animated it on top of other people's faces?
No. Taylor.
They actually matched the mouths up with the audio first.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a good answer.
Taylor.
What is the answer?
The answer is that like the faces are more animated than usual.
Also, did you guys see in the background throughout the entire movie when there was a crowd? They would all be doing different things a bunch. That
they
like
wouldn't
impressive,
down,
right?
Down,
up down.
Yeah,
it
they
wasn't
would
the
just
background
lift their
of a Street Fighter game.
All right. What is unusual about the order in which the dialogue was recorded versus the characters animated in this movie?
Ryan.
Ryan.
It was backwards?
It was backwards. But
reverse?
What is the order?
Oh, one was reverse.
Taylor.
Taylor.
They recorded the audio first and then animated.
Yeah, apparently that had never been done in a Japanese movie before, but they recorded the audio first and then animated to fit that.
But to be fair to Ryan, they recorded the audio first, but also backwards, Taylor. Right? They said other lines backwards.
They did it in reverse order, so that's what I thought you meant. Who would we each be in this movie? What character will we represent?
Oh, Ryan.
No.
Ryan.
Mike, bartender, who's like, I'm going to give you shit, but I'll get you your pills. Please don't kill
me,
and then dies.
Okay.
Taylor, guy with the in Canada's gang, who always wore the tie, and he was just always around.
Oh my God, okay, very good.
That's how I in high school.
I think that I would be Pill Jack himself, Canada, and Greg, you are all of our Akira.
Anybody else have a guess? Because I got to say, That's a pretty strong one.
No, I just wanted to say that I would be that guy with the tie.
Mike.
I got a Mike.
Okay, Mike. Mike, get up.
Ryan is Kaneda because he's a piece of shit. People think he's good, but he's a fucking piece of shit.
Pillboy.
Pillboy himself. I think Taylor is Kai because he's the only good one of us all.
Okay.
I'll take that because it also means that I am the guy with the tie. Are you the guy with the tie? You're both?
The girl's name is Kay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said Kai.
You said Kai, but
no,
meant Kay.
I meant Kay.
Taylor's Kay.
Taylor's Kay. I don't mean that guy. You fucking knew
it. Kai is the guy with the tie.
I'm going to be the little Louie because I don't like to move a lot.
Okay.
I just want to float around. And Greg is the money man.
I'm the rat
you're the
politician.
Fucking, you're the fucking
wow,
rat.
Jesus Christ. All right. I think what we're going to do is go with Ryan's answer there. All right.
You have the world in your fingertips, bro.
That is the end of trivia. When we get back, another one of our insightful questions. Gentlemen, what do we think the journey of Tatsuo is a metaphor for?
This is a rough one because it's got to be something, right?
Yeah.
As much as I declare that this was like a typical superhero movie that we've been getting for the last 20, 30 years, this movie has to be saying that Tatsuo is something.
So it's either, there's a few ways you could take it. You could say, no matter what, when you get older, you become a violent, angry piece of shit.
Okay,
this
so
is the journey of a man.
Taking the generation gap
this
that far.
This is the journey of a man.
Cry to river and still an old man.
Plasma rifle, a cool motorcycle.
The first thing I thought was that he was America, just getting grosser and fatter by the day, and Japan was like reaching out and saying like, Canada, can you help?
Stop.
Like, please, we're going to trust Canada to do all of this. But no, like based on the fact that like there was no clear winner of science or military or punk rock, and they all had to do it, or youth. I would say that is like this is like this guy was like Japan is going in a weird way, and here's what it looks like to me.
And it does feel like he's not every other characters have a direction. They've made decisions. This is who I am. This is how I'll go. And he does seem to whoever's stronger in his circle until he gets the Akira power. He goes like, I guess I'll lean your way. Like he doesn't. He's the fucking fucker who everybody's laughing in a circle and starts laughing and then walks up. And I'm going to keep pounding this in the ground.
But going back to the school shooter thing, like, he does have that attitude, right? Like,
yeah,
he does have that attitude. But
he's wounded and he's a sweet boy until he gets a little bit of power, and then he fucking steps on somebody's neck, like Emma Stone in The Favorite.
What if the school shooter did not get blown away but got to live on and then, like, get more power but then sort of, like, realize all of the damage he's doing? Because we are flipping back and forth the entire movie of, like, kill that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have no choice. Reckon with him. Like, can we talk him out of this? Do we blow him out of the sky? And then at the end, he's like, Canada, please help me. And I think that is an impactful point.
Hey, I've pushed myself too far,
now please help me. Like, again, I have very little empathy because it does feel like I made myself even more in trouble. Oh, shit, now I'm worried. It's not learning real lessons.
But, like,
I get
his lack of empathy does not take away your empathy, though.
Right. I, like, Tetsuo is not a good guy, but I also don't think, like, his whole thing is he's been bullied the whole time. He has a little bit of power. And, like, from the beginning, it's not he's just setting out immediately to, like, destroy things. It's he's pushed to this. No one the entire time just sits him down and says, hey, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone just immediately comes for him with military force. And so he's like, well, this is what I'm going to do now. Like, I'm on the
it's
run.
It's the laughing. The laughing is really what sets
me. They either want to mock him or save him, but they don't want to, like, just acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's always in the way.
But it's because
of
the laughing, though. The laughing, like, pushes you away.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. That, like, I was coming to talk to you.
He fucking enjoys it.
But I don't take that as, like, from the moment that he's, like, that's him snarfing down drugs. And, like, he is, like, not well because he is, like, fucking scared out of his mind. And I took it as whenever he's going on that big rampage, he is on a ton of drugs. And when the drugs wear off, that's when he becomes, like, he starts, like, asking for help. He's like, oh, fuck, I don't have control of this. Everything's, like, destroying me.
I think that's just a lot of you. Because it's also when he starts asking for help is when he is also dying. So he's pushed himself to dying. So it's not, well, I'm human again. It's, I've gone too far.
Before you go at Taylor, we should talk about the fact
fuck you, Taylor! What?
He's only got the one arm, and he created the other arm out of just shit he found in the garage.
Just like, spare
cool
robot parts.
Which, yeah, that arm is cool as hell.
Okay, and then man, my fucking favorite moment, and not, I don't think, this movie had a lot of laugh lines that I don't think it intended to, but he had cyborg arm, it started to eat into the throne somebody put him on, and then somebody's like, what's that? And he covered it, he's like, nothing, I'm fine!
Yeah. I'm just gonna cover this with my cape.
Best joke ever.
Don't worry about this. And it instantly grows out from beyond the cape.
Yeah. This is like hello. A 3-second My Chemical Romance song right okay. there.
Well, then maybe the better question is, what about the journey of Canada? Because is he really the actual protagonist of this?
It feels like he's supposed to be. It feels like the movie wants him to be, and I understand the Han Solo and Star-Lord comparisons, except I don't know, maybe Star-Lord is, I don't, like, they're never as big a piece of shit as Canada is, and he still always seems to just be thinking about his dick.
No, but that's the thing, though, is that, like, as they, like, they're all on the same track, and as Tatsu becomes more selfish,
mm-hmm.
Canada becomes less selfish, and that's sort of, like, what makes a hero.
Because when he goes out and he just keeps screaming Tatsu's name and shooting him, he's not thinking about friendship or helping anybody. He's just still thinking like, oh, this motherfucker wanted his bike. So late in the movie, he's still yelling about how Tatsu wanted his bike.
But I understand.
Do not touch my
That's
motorcycle.
That's not a good dude.
Don't form into a big meat baby and don't touch my motorcycle.
It's a cherry ride, though. Like,
huh?
It's fucking, it's a
sweet ride.
Motorcycle.
It's choice.
But, like, yeah, as he goes on, he is, like, every time he looks behind that scope of that, like, battery gun that he found, he is weighing his decisions in a way that he did not do in the first half of the movie.
So, yeah, I mean, he's becoming smarter, but he's not becoming better as a human.
Why does this high school age kid take it upon himself to go battle this burgeoning god figure?
80s.
Because he's always slapped
every
him
movie in the 80s.
He's always slapped him around.
So
he still thinks he's better than him.
Because is this saying that, like, are we supposed to believe that Canada actually has the social duty to do this? Because there's so often he is shown that he is not a superhero, Canada.
Uh-huh.
He has a cool motorcycle, and he is in charge of his high school age motorcycle gang. But he is often shown to be silly, weird, awkward, vulnerable.
Pukes at maggot rats where nobody else does.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that he has superpowers. Not MCU superpowers, but like Die Hard
plot armor.
Like, yeah, he's got those moves that can make him do
the
things.
The bullets just go in his silhouette instead of hitting him.
And I think he realizes that, like, I have got the cameras on me, so I'm just going to go do this.
A squadron of soldiers shoot laser guns at Tatsu, and he makes a bubble and protects himself. Canada screams his name, so he looks at him and shoots him right in the stomach. So plot armor is fuck.
Well, yeah, this definitely does have one of those plots where your power is only so strong as it needs to be to further the plot. Because anytime this guy needed to get shot, he would get shot.
Uh-huh.
But he would also only get shot. Like, he never accidentally gets shot in the head. And then they're like, oh, shit, that's it.
We're
like,
done.
I managed to get him.
It, like, gently goes off the fat of his palm. And he's like, owie, I'm ready.
My callus.
But, so, is it his moral duty to save his friend, Tetsuo?
I think it's more, I think they imply through the backstory that they provide and for that like vision that we see at the end, that that's just like sort of who he, like he is a sort of piece of shit alpha dude, but he also like, he also got picked on and he's gonna like take people under his wing, but he takes it too far.
And that's why I think it's so close to Die Hard, because that's like, that's what Die Hard brought to us, is Bruce Willis does not look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's gonna go do this thing because he's the only one he has to. I think that's the same thing that Canada has.
I feel like Canada is like, I am the king of the misfits and I don't like not being in charge of the misfits, but I still am going to stick up for those guys. Like my, like when he goes and does that like biker's funeral for his friend, it's like, I do genuinely care about these people, but I'm also just like a shitty kid.
I think there's just so much of the shitty kid in that flashback when they're kids is like, okay, you were a all right 4 year old, but the rest of the movie doesn't show any goodness in him.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that like, all of the badness is against other baddies. So, like, I think that he is a really likable rogue about town, a roustabout.
I get that he's fighting other villains because the movie only has villains, but that does not make him likable.
Yeah. But, I mean,
him and the Colonel are the least likable people in this entire movie.
Yeah. That, like, you can – I think you're saying you don't like it because you don't like the characters, but I think you can like the movie and not like any of the characters.
Sure. Yeah. That can make it complicated. How can all these villains fight?
Yeah.
But it's still, it's pretty messy on that way to that villain fight.
No, I think it was very messy. I think the whole plot was messy. And yet I do think that Pillhead was a good, for whatever we're going to get from a protagonist in this movie, I think that it totally worked. Because they didn't want to do a Luke Skywalker. Like, I still, like, they didn't want to have a Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we got from Akira. It's the only thing we can get from Akira.
Yeah, he's a deeply flawed hero.
Yeah.
And part of what is flawed about him is it's not clear what his motivations are for even sticking his nose in the business.
Right.
I mean, this is very much just trying to check this guy that he has social power over.
Right.
Like, right.
No, you have to be my nerd again.
And yeah. So, is the, with that kind of flawed character, is the character flawed or is the movie flawed? And I think it's both. I think they don't be, the lack of motivation isn't, ooh, interesting. It's like, you didn't sell it well enough.
I guess part of me wonders if it's a cultural thing, and I have nothing to base that on. It's just he doesn't feel like a character that you get much in a Western story. And so I wonder if it's more common for like a Japanese story to have a character like this.
But I don't know if this movie would exist without Han Solo. And I feel like maybe, what if Han Solo is too Western? What if that was too weak? Mm-hmm. And then, like, this is what it actually should be. This is a real guy who is a dipshit. He's
like
an asshole.
If Han Solo were, like, always giving Chewie, like, legit shit and kind of just treating him like he like it was his property.
And then Chewie was like, how about my psychic powers, bro? And then just destroys the world.
But how about I shoot you with a crossbow bolt?
It's, Han Solo is shown to have some skills where Pillboy has no skills until the very end. He's like, well, now I fucking have the skills.
He's got motorcycle skills.
Yeah. Motorcycle skills.
He's
but
got
like,
pipe fighting skills.
He fucks up throughout the movie and suddenly is like, well, now I've learned even though I've gone through no training montage.
And I've got two issues with
what
you're saying.
How do that without a montage?
One, have you ever watched an action movie before where every single main character just learns skills halfway through? And two, I do like how he has one clear thing and it's motorcycle skills. So when he gets on that like air bike with the machine gun at the end, he just sort of knows how to do
it. Right, even though
he's
screaming like, do you know how to fly this? I don't know, bro. You seem to know how to fucking fly
but
it.
Okay, I'll do a loop-de-loop.
That, like, he is, like, a rookie at this, but he's going to fake it till he makes it. He's Bruno Mars.
Skadoosh. Well, skadoosh can only mean one thing, and that is we are moving to a speed round. So, gentlemen, let me ask you this. What did you think of the music in this movie?
Dope as shit. I love all the stuff with the, like, offbeat percussion and like instruments that you don't usually hear, but like in a very rhythmic fashion. It was awesome.
And the whole time I was thinking like, this isn't like most of the movies I've seen. And then I started thinking, this is before most of the movies I've seen. Like all of the other movies I've seen and like got to pick and choose what they wanted from this like giant cornucopia.
The song that sticks out the most that I wanted to listen to all the time is when Tatsu is first having his powers and sees little weird toys starting to come after him.
Oh,
and
man.
It's just like that. Oh, what the fuck is happening here?
The soundtrack is a absolute LSD fever trip. Before I ever watched the movie, I actually downloaded the soundtrack and listened to it. It is insane. I've never heard anything like it. I'm going to give
Taylor
the point for that one. Remember those three creepy toy forms?
Yes.
Bear, the bunny, and the car. Which is the creepiest?
That car. What the fuck is with that car?
Why was that car so creepy?
I'm fine with the car.
The car's tires start to turn into claws.
No. The car's fine.
The car veins up. It's full of veins, and then it shoots white.
The bear and the rabbit both look like, maybe I don't want to do this. And the car's like, I'm so ready. I'm little Louie.
No, the bear and the rabbit are helping each other out. The car's insane.
I was prepared for the fucking car because I've seen other cartoons where they're like, yeah, I'm just a car. He was like, fine.
Oh,
the fucking bear.
No, there was so much menace in that car.
He was raised on Chevron from Tekron. He's used to talking cars.
The fucking bear was seeping milk out of like cuts around it.
At a certain point, Tatsu just goes, milk. I'm like, yeah, bro, milk indeed.
Pennywise fear all over the place. But we can agree that the rabbit was totally fine, right?
Yeah, the rabbit.
Nobody has bunnies over the rabbit.
Mr. Lil Hoppyhead. Akira's bike. Is that cool?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I've only ruined items with stickers, my computers, my guitars, but he just makes them fucking cooler.
I still have a boner just from looking at that motorcycle.
And, I mean, it's now a pop culture icon. If an animated thing could be in Planet Hollywood, then it would be there.
Ready Player One took it.
Right. It was in Ready Player One, which is not, the bar that you want to hit.
No, that's a low bar. That's a Roseanne bar.
But... it's the fact that, you can clearly see how much this guy loved Tron. You forget Tron. Fuck Tron. Akira.
Is it also cool even with the kind of random stickers?
Yeah. I think
That feels so teenager.
Okay.
He doesn't know how permanent stickers are.
These are, the big stickers that he got.
I'll always be this into Real Big Fish.
Well, it reminded me of, NASCAR drivers. They're just whatever, fucking stickers all over this car.
I guess that's what
sponsored.
It's
sponsored.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that's supposed to be the, that kind of it's his he's sponsored.
Were there local ramen shops sponsoring his motorcycle?
I assume his binder or acoustic guitar.
Well, I assume whoever he stole it from was sponsored.
That's why he's super protective of it, because he stole it. He's like, I don't want anyone to do what I
but
did.
The fact that there was an Akira sticker on the motorcycle, was that too on the nose?
That's something that I think would have been addressed in the manga, perhaps, where he actually got that bike from.
Yeah.
That's something that they hint at
for him.
In
the show.
Yeah,
because they just said, he stole it.
that's a cool bike. That's his. What is it about these movies that always focus on orphans? Where are all the parents?
Look, there's so much muddy bullshit you have to deal with when you deal with parents. It's so much easier to be like, why are these teens fighting? I don't know. They don't have parents. Let's move on.
I think there's some sort of ideal where, if society is working when you have two parents, two kids, then we know everything's okay. And if there's no parents or no kids, I guess, children, men, that's how we do post-apocalyptic. The whole nuclear family thing cannot exist.
Because a parent could ground him. And then you're like, well, I guess this plot's done.
And I think it's very much like an image, right? There are no adults in this society. All adults have abdicated their responsibilities in one way or another to give into hedonistic.
But it's crazy.
If you're an adult, you're a pirate.
What we're doing.
Yeah. Peter Pan rules.
Yeah, it's Peter Pan because what we're doing is we're wiping out the middle class, right? Uh-huh. And then, therefore, parents are middle class. Kids still somehow get born. But they grow up to ride bicycles and be in Peter Pan's thing and be Batman. And then there's the rich people. And then there's no middle class.
Both groups of kids we meet, the zombie kids, when we get their flashbacks, they are just being experimented on by scientists, no parents. And then the fucking thug kids are also just in an orphanage, do not have parents. When we finally get that flashback, you've never had a parent. Of course you're always going to be weird.
There's nothing sadder than an orphanage except for rival orphanages. That's where it all comes from.
Orphanage fight!
Or the fact that their school is they get in trouble and the guy's just like, discipline! Discipline!
Oh, man,
discipline!
Yeah.
And he just beats the shit out of him and is like, go away!
Man, they
stand
go to
in a line. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I do. Slap, slap, slap.
Boy, did they ever go to a haggard high school.
Oh, man.
That place is in disrepair. What do the flashbacks towards the end of the movie do?
So little. I think
the flashbacks
everything they showed, the zombie kid flashbacks, I went, yeah, that's what I imagined. And I guess the Tatsu and Canada flashback showed once Canada was sort of nice to Tatsu. But I don't know if I was informed. But really, Akira is another dude. He's just another kid. That was anticlimactic.
This is when I'm not sure how 88 works because all of these movies that we've watched over the last 20 or 30 years have been influenced by Akira. And if they didn't have that flashback, maybe the other movies would not know. But we watched so many movies based on Akira that we already got that part.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you take away the movie because they had to explain it to all the movies that we will watch in the future?
The movie ultimately, I think, fails the Akira test.
The MacGuffin?
Which is, yeah, when you get to Akira, you want it to be cool. Do you guys like the moment where Akira's, like pod is opened up and he's dead and he's not there?
That was dope. That part was dope. And the Colonel's like, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
This is all it's ever been. But the flashbacks where he was just another zombie kid and they're obsessed with him too. Like, I like the movie didn't deal with enough the power of legend and how the common folk can turn a word into a bigger thing. Because the minute we found out, the movie ended.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's way more interesting than the shit you were doing.
It's true, because when we were trying to balance everything out, and science and military and youth and old age, they're all coming together to win. Religion comes into play for the first time in the movie. The three zombie kids get down on one knee and they pray, basically. Like, they get down on one knee and hope Akira comes. And he's just sort of there, and that's sort of it. Like, maybe everything but religion should come into play.
That's if Taylor died, and in 20 years we all fucking bow down and pray to Taylor and the power of Taylor, we're idiots. They were all the same weird kids.
But if Taylor died, do you know what he would say? He'd be like,
marry me with my money.
You don't think if the three of us got down on one knee and prayed to Taylor, we could make him appear in front of us?
No, we're very powerful. That's the power of us, not the power of him.
Well, I do think that a portion of the stuff with the worshiping Akira is they said, like, the kids say, yeah, Akira was powerful, but he wasn't ready. And, like, eventually maybe we will be. And that's what I think the end is when they've all sort of banded together and, like, taken maybe a millennia.
But isn't the point, no one will ever be ready? No one can ever be Akira.
Because we're just
Tatsu.
Amoebas. So we can't have the power of something stronger.
Like, it's a good thing that Akira was killed.
I do think that the moment where the thing opens up, which is like it takes so much time for it to get all the way up and then all the way open, and then nothing is in there, that to me is like the moment of the entire movie. And I felt like they sold it out a little bit when they're like, well, yeah, but Akira still does appear. If they just, like, it should have just been no Akira.
Brutal.
This is like, it's like a reverse Waiting for Godot. You get to the place and there's nothing fucking
no
there.
No Godot.
Don't then, like, later have Godot show up and be like, well, I'm just a ghost, but I still am pretty much Godot.
Boo play. Boo.
I hate this play. I'm
Where's
leaving.
Where's the question
Tatsu
game?
Tatsu at the peak of his powers, like, gets the Akira casket open. And it, I swear to God, looks like 12 Mountain Dews in it, like in ice. Like, who wants to drink some?
And then someone does a kickflip over it.
Extreme.
That is the end of the speed round. We are going to tabulate these scores, get to the outro, and then, gentlemen, that'll be the Akira show.
Okay. So I said that more good stuff was coming up. That wasn't the best stuff. Not as good as the first part.
No, I mean, it's so hard to top that first part.
First parts are always the best.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
But now
it's
this is the pinnacle of a roller coaster. You know how roller coasters hit you hard at first?
Right.
And you get kind of bored in the middle. And then at the end, you're like, oh my God, I didn't see it coming even though I watched the thing before.
Oh my God, is this the Skrillex roller coaster at Six Flags?
Oh my God! Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, I feel bad that we're not letting them get to the rest of that amazing part. So why don't we tell them about a couple things? Real quick, and then they can go back.
Just really quick.
So we have a ton of podcasts that you can listen to. You're listening to this one, of course, and we appreciate that.
You love it.
But don't forget Movie of the Year.
Every Monday.
Where Greg hosts and takes two people and you on a journey through the best movies of each year.
There is the first Tuesday of the month, Taylor Talking Taylor, where Taylor takes you and only himself through a journey through the Taylors of history.
Are you calling Thursday Thursday? Because you are, I'm talking to the audience right now, Mike, because you're so thirsty for awesome content with two bros talking about the greatest TV show of all time, we have the OCD.
And the flagship show, the baby mama herself, not with Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, Superhero Hour, where I just said names that really confuse what we're doing. They have nothing to do with this show, where we watch every single TV show based on comic books.
Based on baby mama.
And bring that to you.
So many good shows, my God. If you want to be on these shows, Mike, what is a way to contact us?
You could certainly email us at contact@yourpopfilter.com, and we'll read your emails. Just in the subject line, say what show. Based on your message, we'll probably figure it out. We're not going to read your baby mama content on Taylor Talking Taylor.
Or at all. Or the other thing you can do is call our robot associate. He is a robot, and I feel like I solved both of those problems with
the
intro.
You handled it right there.
His phone number is 1-562-DR-DJ-POP. That's 1-562-DR-DJ-POP.
That's because his name is 1-562-DR-DJ-POP.
That is his name, yes. That is what we call him.
And if you're like, all that seems old and I hate it,
hit us on the Twitter at Your Pop Filter or on the Instagram at Your Pop Filter.
And those are all of our social medias
that we care to talk about right now.
Okay. No, we're not going to bring up the LinkedIn.
No.
Okay.
Nor our Gab. It was a bad business decision to get on Gab. It's hateful there.
Well, I mean, it's not as bad of a business decision as starting Gab.
Yeah.
That seems worse.
That is not our best decision either.
Speaking of Gabbin, we're doing it now, so let's get back to the rest of the show.
Well, we have come to the end of the show, gentlemen, and it's time to tabulate our final scores. Taylor.
Yes.
You did, for what a guest is, a very, very good score.
Oh,
18
no.
points.
Oh, that I don't like that.
A score that tied you with our current champion and best friend, Ryan.
Holy
Whoa.
Shit.
So
that means
is,
we won, Taylor. We won
is,
together.
We quite an achievement in and of itself, but unfortunately for all people involved, on his final show, Mike has won the title. He had 19 points.
Wow.
1 point?
And
well
he
done.
Stole the show, beating
Solid.
You both
well
by
fought.
1 point.
Well thought.
But he won by hating the movie.
He did. That's one of the ways you can win, quite frankly, is if you don't like the movie enough, hard enough, and with enough loud yelling.
If you swing hard enough at everybody else in the room.
Then
also, Mike, I'm pretty sure you hate Jaws and Die Hard. And
no, those
Barack
are
Obama.
Good movies.
Ryan, Mike, excuse me, Ryan. I'm trying to talk to my
I
best
voted
friend.
For Jaws twice. I voted for Jaws a third time.
To my best friend, Mike here.
Yes, sir.
Did you feel like we had a good conversation about the movie?
I thought we had a great conversation.
Did the fact that it engendered such a good conversation at all make you like the movie more?
A couple of millimeters.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you chew on it a little more, like, okay. And the no likable characters, I do think, is a very American thing to hate.
Uh-huh.
And then the more you discuss it, like, well, that's pretty interesting that there's no likable characters. I still think there's nobody likable. I think it's batshit. Some people think some are heroes.
Uh-huh.
But its status in the canon still baffles me.
Yeah.
And I think some other Japanese films you all will talk about later in the season, which I unfortunately will not be a part of, make way more sense to me and should be the biggest animes ever.
But I do think that one of the most hack things you can say as a watcher of TV and movies is there's no likable characters. I don't care about that. I want compelling characters.
Right.
And but you said the likable thing.
No,
so,
sure. So you are a hack.
I'm a hack. But I don't know. I don't know who here is that compelling.
Taylor.
Because Taylor and Greg certainly are. You
Yay!
Will never be because you're a Pillboy. And Pillboy, it is bananas. I think if you had a fight for a protagonist, it is Pillboy. And I do not find that Addison 15-year-old selfish fuck compelling at all.
Adolescent. But I do think, although we didn't get that many compelling characters, I will give you that, Mike, we did get a compelling world. Like, I
yeah.
do think that this world kept sucking us in. And I do think that the last hour was lesser than, right? I think that it was too much. But this world, I was surprised, like, how into it I was.
Yeah, and you don't get enough of it, right? Like, you want more. You want to know how things work, and you want to know the history of more of it. And I felt
follow that guy. What's
yeah,
that guy's story?
And I thought that was very compelling. And I liked both the way that it predicted so many things that it would become big in pop culture, but also played off so many things that were big. Like, it's very situated in time as, like, a, you know, both referencing a lot and being referenced to a lot.
Which sort of, like, pushes it above Quentin Tarantino stuff, where it's like, I'm trying to create pop culture, and he sort of is like he'll have a lot of copycats but not like influence great artists, but then also be influenced by stuff that like we don't really care about, you
yeah.
know, whereas Akira like took the pop culture that we thought was important in 88 and then created all of it that we know now.
I think it's so fascinating to be influenced by your peers, and 88 had something about glass shoved directly in your feet.
Oh yeah,
that they're like, that's nope. We should do that more.
That's a Moody Award, right?
Yeah, worst,
who deals with glass feet the best?
Worst or best glass? Right.
1988 Oof. Deals with the
no, thank
blurst.
You. No, thank you.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but the last thing we always talk about on these shows is how do we think this movie is going to do in the brackets? I enjoyed it a lot myself, but is it? Does it have a chance to beat anything in the bracket?
I would say it's a wild card. Like, if we're talking baseball, like...
Wait, that's awesome.
It snuck in, and I think it has a chance. Like, I don't know. I think that if we get down to it, and if we kick Mike off the show, then we can talk about this as, like, a really idiot representative that was sort of cool.
The only way this movie could move on further than that first round is if I was not on any of the episodes after this for some reason.
Yeah.
That's
we'll
the
see.
Only way.
I can't see that happening, but we'll see.
Also, the one thing I think it really has in its corner is I think we get kind of enamored of movies we don't totally understand because they always are like, they encompass us rather than our encompassing them. And I think if you hold this up against a movie like Rain Man, where we feel like, no, I get what you're doing. Like, half an hour into this movie, I knew what was going to happen. With Akira, you're just like, I still don't understand it. And so I have to keep thinking about it and I have to keep going back to it.
Right. And there's different types of storytelling, but there's also bad storytelling. Whereas in Rain Man, you're just like, shut up, Rain Man. You're stupid.
Maybe your head is clogged, Rain Man.
But yeah, I'm always wondering through Akira. And then 2 weeks from now, Mike is
My Neighbor Totoro.
You're like,
that's such a good movie.
Am I stupid or are stories told differently in different places?
And how good are we at adapting to completely different story forms? That's the thing. I think I can take different versions of the story forms that I'm used to, but when you start moving from culture to culture, that's when it really gets tough to appreciate it on its level. And I think that I wondered how often that was happening with this movie, how many times I was just missing something because I'm not part of the culture that it's from.
But that being said, like, it had all of the things, like, besides like the halfway point and the two different movies, like, it had all of the plot points, had all of the action and the violence and the bad guys and the good guys and the confusingness. Like, we had to have conversations about, like, who do we root for and does that matter? And
it had a guy shot by a satellite and then a guy punching that satellite back down to the earth.
Love that.
And there was a point where Canada was like driving back to like the borderline and all the border cops were dead except for one guy who threw up everywhere and then died.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that in Die Hard.
Or how about that part where Tetsuo is like just stumbling through the hospital and two guys are like, hey, are you okay? And then the lights go out and they're just like suddenly spread all over the
everywhere.
Wall.
Oh, man.
The CLA.
Some of the deaths in this were fucking brutal.
Some people got splody.
Did we talk about the time where like everybody's up against Tetsuo because his arm is going crazy and like, are you okay, bro? And all of his innards fall out on the ground. He's like, he's packing them back in. He's like, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it, bro.
I just got to get these back in here.
Don't look at me. Yeah, when that one guy in the sewer got, like, gunned down real fast, like, that was fucking...
And Kai brings up the gun and his hand is just on it.
Yeah.
Ew. Or the rat maggot in the sewer. It's just a rat with a stomach full of maggots.
Covered in fucking maggots.
Fun time.
I guess what I've learned is that there's so much in this movie that, like, visually that I will never forget. And then also pop culture won't let me. You know, like, they're just going to keep going back to this well.
I will ish pop culture remind us all more of a cartoon-looking car just milking itself and drowning somebody in milk. Why isn't that everywhere?
And maybe having...
Because that's horrifying.
Claws. Well, that is it for our show on Akira. Good luck, Akira. I hope you do very well in the future. Next week, we will be covering The Naked Gun. I guarantee this will be the most in-depth conversation about The Naked Gun
that's probably safe,
that
right?
You have ever heard. Well, until then, for Mike and Taylor and Ryan, I'm Greg. Tune in next time. But in the meantime, keep watching them movies.